Well, the holiday season is truly in full swing, and what a gift we have for you today on the newest episode of Musings on Golf. I am Kelly Elbin, he is Bob Bupka, and together we have the privilege of bringing you a very special interview with an extraordinary woman, the great Nancy Lopez. Bob, you and I talked with Nancy yesterday, that being Monday, December 9th, and Bob, there's something about her that just sets Nancy Lopez apart. And frankly, that's been the case since she burst onto the scene some 46 years ago with her incredible rookie season in 1978.
So well said, Kelly. Nancy Lopez was class the moment she got on the LPGA tour, and she's been class ever since. After all she's accomplished, she's just, you know, forget being a great golfer. She's a great person, Kelly. I mean, somebody that's been a friend for a long time. And we're so honored to bring the listeners of Musings on Golf an opportunity to get Nancy a little bit. Matter of fact, you're going to find out what thumb she used to suck on when she was growing up. And that'll be the answer to a great trivia question. But it truly is a special honor to have Nancy Lopez come be with us on Musings on Golf. It was just a delight, and I know our listeners are going to really enjoy the opportunity to get to know her a little bit better. But what a special guest. For music.
Yeah, she really is. And Bob, when we started this before we went on the air, we were very upbeat and very happy, and the interview with Nancy is just that. But unfortunately, we learned some really, really sad news, and particularly those of us who knew the acclaimed and outstanding golf writer for many years for Golf Week, their former editor. The saddest of news to pass along, that Jeff Babineau, a former Golf Week editor, covered more than 100 major golf championships, wrote about 12 Ryder Cups, passed away earlier today at his home in Orlando at the very young age of 62. Bob, it has hurt both of us deeply. It's hurt Janice deeply. We knew Jeff really well. It's kind of like a member of the family, certainly the extended golf family, that we've lost. And for those who follow the game from the written word, they've lost someone in a big way in the passing of just a great guy, really great guy, Jeff Babineau.
You're so right, Kelly. And I had to get up off the floor when I heard the news. I've been a friend and contemporary of Jeff for a long time, good old New England boy, as nice as they come, class act, very talented, great golfer, great father, great husband. Jeff Babineau was that cut above, and it certainly was sad news that we bring it to the listeners of Musings on Golf, but that's what we have to do. And in reality, that's what life is all about. We have the great stuff, having Nancy Lopez as our guest. We have the sad stuff, Jeff Babineau passing away at 62. But life must go on, and that's what we have to do. And I don't want it to sound callous that we're continuing with the show, but we have to. And one of the main reasons we have to is a tribute to Nancy Lopez. I mean, Nancy will be as upset as you and I are right now. But well said, Kelly, about Jeff. I called him Babs, and he called me Bubby. And, you know, just you know, a lot of great guys come your way and go through your life. I got to put Jeff right up there near the top as one of the nicest guys, and always a little smile on his face, and as you well know, Kelly, and he's going to be missed. And and our deepest condolences to his wife, to his family. He was a good man. I'm going to leave it at that because I can't come up with any better words than he was a good man.
Yeah, there's no question. You mentioned about him being a proud New Englander, being from the Washington area originally. I'm a big fan of the Washington Capitals. I can still remember he and I were on a fam trip of some kind, and the Caps were playing the Bruins in a playoff game, and the Capitals came from behind to win it, and we were just giving each other a hard time throughout the whole game, and just, Bob. People come through our lives, right? We get to know some people. We forget about some people. But Jeff Babineau was a guy I'll always remember just because of not so, it was a great writer and all, yeah, but just how he treated people. Kind of like, we talked a little bit about Nancy. We're fortunate in golf. We're so fortunate to get to know so many good people. And that's what makes our game great. And in this case, what's really sad to have to talk about with Jeff, but and I know you've said your piece, and I really appreciate it. Let's go back to Nancy Lopez for a minute, and we'll, later on after the interview, Bob, you and I are going to talk about Scottie Scheffler and his win at the Hero World Challenge. We're going to look ahead to the team event in Naples this week with the Grant Thornton Invitational. The perspective about Nancy, Bob. She was, we look at young athletes today. She was all of 22 in a sport where you're out there, in her case, competing against obviously older women. And she goes out as a rookie and she wins five in a row to set that standard in 78. She wins nine times in all. She's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I mean, you talk about being shot out of a cannon. In terms of sports, she was as red hot a star as you could possibly be at age 22.
Great selection of words there, Kelly, but let me assure you, nothing that you and I have the ability to say could ever describe Nancy Lopez as great as she really is. Great as a golfer, sure. Great as a person, sure. Great at everything, sure. Nancy Lopez, certainly one of the special people ever to walk this face of the earth, and it's an honor, and I mean outright honor, for us to bring the listeners of Musings on Golf some time with Nancy Lopez.
And you all will hear that really fun, really insightful interview that Bob Bupka and I had with Nancy Lopez right after these commercials from our corporate partners at Musings on Golf. Our friends at William and Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William and Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15 off MOG for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
You flew the trap on 6. You birdied 12 and 13. You closed out the match 4 and 3. From your numbers to your windows, everything was dialed. That was yesterday. Outperform your best. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Bob, here on Musings on Golf, we've been so fortunate to have had such stellar guests as Lee Trevino, Gary Player, Julie Inkster, Xander Schauffele, and Jim Nance, but I dare say that no one who has joined us has generated such warm feelings from so many who love our game as our very special guest today. She won 9 times as a rookie on the LPGA Tour in 1978, including 5 straight wins. She was elected to the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1987, and she is absolutely beloved for her warm smile and gracious nature. What a thrill to be joined by the great Nancy Lopez. Nancy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about Christmas time and getting ready for that.
Yeah, you've got family coming in, right?
I do. I have all 3 of my daughters and 4 grandchildren. They're going to be kind of in and out. My oldest grandbabies are going to come in the first, like about the 20th, 21st, and then they're going to leave. And then I have the other 2 through Christmas, which is great. So it's nice to have them all here underneath one roof, which that doesn't happen very often.
No place like home at Christmas time, is there?
Yeah, and I've already got requests for the foods that they want to eat, and because they have their favorites when they were growing up from mom. So I'm gonna be working on that.
Oh, that's great.
Well, nobody could do it any better, I'm sure, than Nancy Lopez. I got a little bookkeeping I got to take care of because okay. I am over the moon being able to chat with Nancy Lopez. You've been a friend for a long time. 3 items that I want to make you aware of. Number 1, there's a formal letter into the Webster Dictionary. They got to come up with another word better than greatest, because greatest doesn't do you justice. So they're working on that. 2, it was pretty amazing that one time I was talking to Charlie Meacham, the former commissioner of the LPGA Tour, and I said, boy, you know what the LPGA Tour needs, Charlie? He said, what's that, Bob? I said, it needs more Nancy Lopez's. He says, are you kidding me? If I had more Nancy Lopez's, I'd still be commissioner. So,
thank you for those nice words,
Bob. And then a little bit disappointing to report this, but you're well aware of it. You were holding a press conference in Delaware, and our mutual friend Alex Maselli happened to fall asleep during your press conference. Then we go out to the U.S. Open, and I said to Alex, I got to arrange an opportunity for you to apologize for Nancy for falling asleep. So you were on the putting green, and I go grab Alex. I says, come on, Alex, now's your time. You got to apologize to Nancy. And he was as nervous as could be. But I'll never forget what he says. He walks up. I says, go ahead, Alex, apologize. Alex says, I'm sorry, Nancy. I'll take you out to dinner. I'll take you out to dinner. Oh, God.
Hey, how dare anybody fall asleep in a press conference that Nancy Lopez is conducting, right?
For sure. But the apology being he's going to take her out to dinner. I said, Alex, she'd be doing you a favor.
Nancy, did you ever get that dinner, by the way? I don't. Something tells me you didn't, right?
Now I get to see you, Nance, every year at the Insperity here in Houston. It's one of the highlights of my year. So many great people there, Pat Bradley and, you know, Julie Inkster and Annika. They all come to Houston, and it's a wonderful tournament. It's a wonderful opportunity to talk to you in person. What are you up to these days?
Well, I just got over a rotator cuff surgery. It was a year ago at the end of July. So I'm trying to find my golf swing again. I thought I could just jump right back out there and start playing, but I think your muscles get atrophy when you don't use them for a while. And I was a little frustrated because, even though I was still doing my therapy, the strength wasn't quite there. And it took a little while for those muscles to kind of wake up again. So I've been working on my game a little bit. Would like to play a little bit next year, maybe on the Legends Tour. Not really sure, Bob. Just I'm ready to slow down. I'm tired of traveling, and I just put my suitcase up for the year, the middle of November. It's been on in one of my guest rooms on the bed with clothes everywhere, unpacking, repacking. Because when I was coming home, it was only for a short time, and so I just really had a busy year. I have four grandbabies now. I want to kind of plan my grandbabies around my schedule instead of my schedule around them. And just play more golf and enjoy the time that I have on the golf course. I have a husband that loves to play golf, so he keeps me in the game, and I get to travel and play courses I've never played before. I think everyone thinks, when you're on the LPGA tour, you played all these great golf courses, and that's not really true. I mean, I played the old course for the first time probably about 7 years ago, and I'd never been to Scotland. So a lot of people are surprised at that. So it's just, enjoying the rest of my life, still doing stuff for the LPGA and my friends, and I have done stuff for years. I'm just not going to add anything to that next year. I hate to say no, it's really hard, but I said no 5 times for next year already because I could really stay busy, and it's just time to slow down.
Nancy, golf never took you to Scotland before 7 years ago?
No, I never went to Scotland until then. Yeah, my husband took me there. And well, Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures, one of the companies that I'm part of, took me there. We took about 43 people there, and it was just it was amazing. It was really, really fun.
I've said for many years, Nancy, I could take people to St. Andrews that hate golf, and they would love the experience of going to St. Andrews. I mean, it's such a magical, magical place, which kind of ties in with magical Nancy Lopez. What a morning for me. Hey, I understand your dad, Domingo, was the one that got you started in the game, right?
Yes, he did, Bob. He was my best friend. He was a great dad, great teacher, great coach, and he wasn't a professional golfer, but he loved golf. And when I started playing, my mom played a little bit, and she really played just for the exercise. She didn't know a lot about golf, but she did play, and I'd go out there with my mom and dad and follow them around. I was about 8 years old. I wasn't quite eight. And I'd follow them around the golf course. Loved those times with my parents. And pretty much my dad just threw a golf club in my hand, and the only thing he told me was to keep up. And every time I swung, to make connection is what he called it. So that was my goal. They're playing and I'm hitting. And there was a funny story because I'm playing with my dad and my mom, and this is probably months into me starting to play and trying to make connection. And my dad said that a ball came flying over their head. And of course, my dad turned and he was like angry. He thought somebody hit into us. And he said, "Oh no," he says. And my dad had this really strong Spanish accent. He was just the cutest thing. And he would say, when that happened, when the ball flew over our head, he turned around and he said, "Oh, it's just my little Nancy." So I really grew up with him playing golf. He loved the game. And I think he taught me really more of the mental part because I never had that picture perfect swing. It was just all about making contact. But he was just very positive, always inspired me, always wanted me to love the game. Because I think he knew if I loved the game that I would practice and work hard with it. And so, he was very inspirational in that way. And always had a hug for me, always, rooted for me on the LPGA tour and amateur golf. And he would just fun, a lot of times parents, when you walk off the green, you've played poorly, you kind of don't want to see that right away because they're not good at making you feel good about a bad round. And that's pretty much what happens a lot, with parents and sports and their kids. But my dad, He always had a hug for me when I finished, and he always said, let's just work a little harder when I had some of those bad days. And I always tell this story because this really tells you what my dad was all about. When I played in the Women's US Open at 17, just outside of Philadelphia, I had worked really hard to play well that week. You always have to work hard when you're playing in any majors, but especially the US Open. And I was, I think, 12 over par after 2 rounds. And I knew I was going to miss the cut. And I was, walking off the green on Friday after 18. I was crying. I walked up to my dad and I said, Dad, I am so sorry I didn't play better. And he gave me this great big hug and he said, it's okay. I didn't want to see you at 25 over par anyway. And that pretty much, tells you what my dad was all about. He wanted me to have fun and enjoy the game.
Nancy, did you play any other sports as a kid, or was that connection, if you will, to golf what took you through your childhood?
I played a lot of sports. I was in gymnastics. I played tennis, and golf and softball, which really messed up my golf swing for a little while. I was playing with my dad, and believe it or not, I shanked my driver. And you can't shank a driver, but I shanked it. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm playing softball, Dad." And he says, "Oh, that messed up your golf swing." So he went to school and he asked if I couldn't play, if they wouldn't make me play, but of course they did. So I started playing left-handed. And I really played well softball left-handed because my swing was more level. Right-handed, I kept kind of swinging underneath it. I played a lot of sports and I was in track. So it's funny, my daughters always laugh at me when I tell them all the things I did. And they're like, "Oh, right, Mom, sure." They don't remember that I was young like this. I wasn't always old.
Hey, what do you remember? What do you remember? You're all of 12 years old and you win the New Mexico Women's Amateur. For goodness sakes, what do you remember from that, Nancy?
Well, I remember playing in the New Mexico Women's State Amateur, like age 10, and I think qualified for like second or third flight. And kept playing in it. And when I played age 12, we were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the University South Course, which is a very tough golf course. And at that time, I was probably averaging about 74 with my golf. And I ended up beating Mary Bryan, who Mary Bryan played on the LPGA Tour, did Golf Channel and co golf commentating for a while. But I played really well that day. It was, like I said, it was a tough golf course, 36-hole final. And I ended up winning 9 and 8, or 9 and 7. I'm not really sure now anymore. It's getting to where it's getting out of my memory banks. But I played really well, and I beat her. And she was 20, I think 21 or 22, and I was 12. And I remember, the press just talking to me. And back then, you can never say I want to turn professional because it was like against amateur rules. You couldn't say that because you pretty much declared yourself a professional, is what they used to say. But at age 12, I mean, I didn't even think about professional golf when they wouldn't ask me that. I'm like, what, almost what is professional golf for that moment? And I never thought about it at that age, but it was fun to be able to win the New Mexico Women's State Amateur at a young age. And just remember, I just remember playing and enjoying it. And Mary Bryan was such a nice lady. And, just I liked winning. And so I wanted to be able to beat, somebody that was really a great player at that time. And it was a great day. I remember my dad riding around on a golf cart. I gave him and my mother a golf cart to follow me because it was a very hilly golf course. And it was an exciting time to be able to win that.
Well, we're absolutely thrilled to be joined by the great Nancy Lopez here on Musings on Golf. Nancy, can we talk for a second about great streaks in the history of our sports world down through the years? Joe DiMaggio in 1941 with 56 straight games with a hit. Byron Nelson, who I know you got to know at some point in your career, winning 11 straight tournaments in 1945. For you, as a rookie in the LPGA Tour in 78, you win five straight, including the fourth one being the LPGA Championship. You're on the cover, Sports Illustrated that July. You voted the AP Female Athlete of the Year. How in the world do you do something like that as a rookie at age 22 on the LPGA Tour?
You know, I look back and I'm like, how did I do that? But it was, I mean, it was magical for me. You know, when you're playing golf and you're playing well, everything just seems easy. I always say the fairways get wider, the greens get bigger, the hole gets bigger. And you know, like I said, I liked winning, and so whatever it took, I practiced hard to be able to accomplish that, but never thought that I would. I mean, my goal my rookie year was to win one tournament. And then after I won my first tournament in Sarasota, Florida, at the Bentry Classic, it just kind of it like opened the door. I realized I could win. And I think when any LPGA player comes on the tour, or even a PGA player, you wonder, can you ever win? And then once you win, you're like, yes, I can. And then it just started to snowball. And it was great. It was just everything seemed easy, and it was a lot of fun. And I mean, I'm 21 years old, and the press is asking me questions. Everybody wants to know what I'm thinking. You know, I'm making money because I had no money, and now I'm making money, which I thought was a lot of money back then. I mean, I won nine tournaments. I think I won $200,000 my rookie year, and I was celebrating that. But you know, fortunately, I made a lot of money off the golf course, with endorsements and stuff like that. And it's
Yes.
funny, when I think about my teeth, you know, my dad spent a lot of money on braces when I was growing up, and he was so cute because he told me one day, because I said, "Dad, you know, that's a lot of money to spend on braces and my teeth." And he says, "No," he says, "one day if you're ever famous, you have to have pretty teeth." So I'm grateful that he spent that money on my teeth, because I had a bad habit of sucking my thumb, and that wasn't a good thing back in the. But the you know the, that rookie year was really an exciting year for me. And you know, my dad was there a lot of the time. My mom passed away before I ever won a tournament, so she did go to qualifying school with me in 77, but she passed away shortly after that.
Do you remember, Nancy, which thumb it was, your right one or your left one?
It was my
Ah,
right one, and
right
if
one.
Mom put chili on my right one, I'd suck my left one.
Oh, Nancy Lopez. I
But you
told
know,
you it's going to be a
you're
great guest.
absolutely right about Bob. She's absolutely right about the teeth. I'm looking at the cover of Sports Illustrated, July 10th, 1978. The name of the game, Nancy Lopez, on it, and those white teeth are just jumping off the cover, Nancy, right?
Well, yeah, I think. I was excited to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and
Oh, yeah.
that picture was taken in Hershey, Pennsylvania, when I was trying to win my sixth in a row. And so there was a lot going on that week. You know, being on the cover of Sports Illustrated,
Yeah.
the pressure of trying to win six in a row, and I did not win six in a row, of course, as you know. But I remember playing, and I always tell the story because Pat Bradley won that tournament. And I think she beat me by like 10 shots. I just played awful. I was exhausted. Every interview, you know, just if there was a lot of interviews going on, and I just, you know, didn't focus very well on that. But it came to the point where really mentally I was cooked. I was done. And I remember, because I used to love to eat at McDonald's, and I told people that I would be standing over a, you know, 10-foot putt thinking about a quarter pounder with cheese and not really thinking about the putt. So I wasn't very focused on winning my sixth in a row because I was so tired.
Hey, how much of a cool thrill was that to get the call from Sports Illustrated? I mean, for you and your dad with you at that time, come on, how great was that?
Pretty exciting. I mean, I've never thought, I mean, not very many women have been on the cover of Sports
Yeah.
Illustrated. I thought, this is really, you know, I never in a million years would ever think that that was going to happen. And it's funny because I look at that photo, and you know, I represent Rolex. I've represented them for years, and I had this little watch on my wrist that I think it was my mom's. And so I look at that, and I'm like, boy, I've come a long way.
Well, you
Yeah.
hold a record of being the nicest person ever to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
No,
Really?
you're sweet, Bob.
I can guarantee you that. Oh, Nancy, you really have a you've been a blessing to the world of golf. I mean, you've inspired so many young females to play this game and play it well. And do it the right way. I mean, I can't thank you enough. I mean, you know very much how much I love golf, and I appreciate everything that you have done for this sport of golf. We're so proud to have you here on Musings on Golf. It's not even funny, Nance.
Well, I've known you and Janice for a long time, Bob, and it's, you kind of helped me grow up through golf, and we did a lot of interviews together, and you all really represented and helped the LPGA Tour a lot too, and that means a lot, because the LPGA didn't get a lot of attention, I think, for a lot of years, and for whatever reason, me winning 9 in a row, a lot of attention came to the LPGA, which, that would have been my goal anyway. I think through my rookie year, there was so much that I did that there were days I didn't want to do it, but it was more about helping my tour. It wasn't about Nancy Lopez. It was just more about helping my tour and what I needed to do to help us keep, the purses keep rising and, to bring more attention to the LPGA tour. And, players before me, like Donna Capone and Carol Mann and Judy Rankin and Joanne Carner, all those players did what they could to bring attention to the LPGA tour, but a lot of people just didn't follow women's golf. And fortunately for me, I was able to bring a little bit more attention. I was blessed with that, and I love the tour. I still consider the LPGA tour my tour, because I look at the players and any way that I can help. Them, some of the young players that, that I text and keep in touch with. It's really a lot of fun to be a part of that. And I know I stayed more a part of it because being captain of the Kurt the sorry the Solheim Cup, and then being assistant captain with Julie Inkster, I kept in touch with all these young players, and it was really a lot of fun to, be able to stay in touch with them and contact them when they needed any help or they contact me. So it's been a good thing, the LPGA tour for me, and I was just honored to play on it and play as well as I did.
What do you remember about playing on that Solheim Cup back in 1990?
It was way different than it is now. I mean, we only had a few people there watching us. Always say family and friends because it was a new thing. The Solheim family got involved, and they've done such a great job with the Solheim Cup. But I know that year Kathy Whitworth was our captain, and we really miss her. She was such a great lady. How nervous we were. I mean, I played on the Curtis Cup and the World Cup for the U.S. as an amateur, but as a professional, for some reason, it was just harder. And I know that Kathy had put Pat Bradley and I in the first group on that day, and we were like really nervous. And I know Bradley had already won quite a few tournaments. I had won quite a few tournaments. There was no strategy compared to what there is now, because now the players are like, who's going to hit into the odd holes? Who's going to hit into the even? Who's putting better? There was a lot of strategy now that there wasn't then. And we kind of joked because Bradley and I, we get up to the first tee and we hadn't had no strategy. And I was nervous. She was nervous. And I looked over at her. I said, how are you feeling? She says, I feel nervous. And she looks at me. She goes, how do you feel? I said, I feel nervous. I said, do you want to hit first? No, you hit first. I said, no, you hit first. And she ended up getting first. And it was really nerve-wracking to be able to play in that first Solheim Cup, but loved it. It was loved the pressure. I ended up winning the point to win the Solheim Cup that year. But it's just grown, and it's unbelievable. It's tremendous what it's all about, coming and rooting for your countrymen, women, and to be able to, give them the support they need. It's so much fun. I love going to the Solheim Cup every year. Even if I'm, now I'm not assistant captain, but just to be there and root for the players, it's just a lot of fun.
Well, and to, as you said, it's very different now, and to see how far it's come, right? I mean, at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club, it was such an atmosphere, and to see the players play off of that support for you as someone who was there from the start has got to be an incredibly good feeling.
I mean, it is. I mean, I haven't walked 18 holes. And I have terrible feet. I don't like to walk anymore. But you're just so motivated to be there. The Europeans have beat us 3 times in a row, And it's been a long time coming. You know, it was funny when the Europeans beat us, 6 years ago. We're like, oh, it's good for the game that the Europeans win once in a while. Well, then it was like, really? We need to win. We need to win. We need to win that cup back. And of course, I had a few on X the last Solheim Cup because we tied. You know, people were saying, you know, that we didn't really lose. And of course, I was like, yeah, we did. We don't have the cup. So we're not, we didn't lose. I like to win. I want to be the winner outright. And I was so proud of them this year. It was really fun to be there watching them. Lexi Thompson, she played really well. You know, she got beat in a few of those matches. I watched her and, Nelly played great. I mean, they all played great. It was just really fun to be a part of it.
Nancy, let me ask you this. How did you feel to see Nelly Korda win five straight? Only something you and Annika had previously done.
Well, you know, Nelly, I called what Nelly's become. I'm going to pat myself on the back because when I was her pod leader in the Solheim Cup for a couple years. And I looked at Ed, my husband, I said, you know what? When Nelly Korda realizes how good she is, she's going to kick some butt on the LPGA Tour. And I just watched her. She was such a great player, really focused, really good putter. She just had the total game. And I just knew she was going to be a great player just by watching. I had not really seen any player quite like her. So it was fun to watch her play the way she had. Of course, it was funny there. I was with Annika and with some other people. And I looked at her and said, now, Annika, tell me the truth. Were you rooting for Nelly to win six in a row? And she kind of shook her head like, oh, she wasn't going to tell me. I go, you didn't want her to win six in a row. Because I didn't. I said, not in a bad way. I wanted her to play great golf. But, you know, when you get older and you hold on to some records, you don't want anybody to break them. So that's, you know, one of the records that both Annika and I hold. And I'm glad to add Nelly to the list of five in a row. But I wasn't rooting against her. I just didn't want her to quite win that six in a row. But it was fun. It was fun to watch her. I was rooting for her. She's such a great player. Really sweet, sweet person, too, if you get to know her. Because a lot of people don't know her real well. And she is a really true champion.
Hey, Nancy, when you look at Nelly's game, for you, what is there one aspect of it that stands out above the other or above anything else?
You know, she's really pretty consistent. You know, she might have one bad round every once in a while, but she's always, you know, playing really consistent. I thought when I first saw her that she was really a good putter. And, you know, everybody can hit the green, but who can make the putts. She struggled a little bit with her putting for only a short time, but to me, that's, you know, the difference right there is the putting.
I'm so pleased to be joined by Nancy Lopez here. We've got just a few more minutes with her. Okay, I've got to ask you something of a current announcement by both the LPGA and the USGA in regards to women and the ruling, the policy out of players must be assigned female at birth or have transitioned to female before going through male puberty to be able to play in any LPGA event and the eight USGA events where women and girls participate. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the rule or whatever you want to call it, when I was on tour, was you must be female born. Somehow it changed. The players changed it, I guess. I'm not really sure. It wasn't during my time. And definitely, you know, I think that that's a good decision. You know, it's, I know a little bit about transgender only because I know I have a friend that had a brother that transgendered into a female. And she absolutely believes that, you know, science shows it. Men are stronger than women. And if internally they're still a man, they are stronger than us. And there's no way that women can compete against a transgender man. There's just no way. We fought so hard for women's sports and for that to happen is discouraging because you see so many players, women, in golf, cycling, boxing, anything. It's discouraging to them to where they're turning away and saying, I can't do this. And it's just not fair. And And I, you know, whatever word I want to use, I sympathize, empathize with transgender only because I know the story. You know, they're just normal human beings that are struggling with what they are. And only I got all that information from my friend, and it's sad. I mean, they really are struggling. And if that makes them happy to be a transgender from male to female, I'm all for that. But I just don't believe that they should be competing against women when they are not really women.
Tell our listeners about Nancy Lopez Golf.
Well, Nancy Lopez Golf, gosh, started over 20 years ago. We started with golf clubs, and it was all about making golf clubs for women, because I think there wasn't at that time any companies that were really focusing on women and playing better golf. And that's what Nancy Lopez Golf is all about, is to help women get out on the golf course, bring out their best talent, because there's so many times husbands give their wives their golf clubs, and then they'll get a new set. And I play with women that were, you know, they were swinging their husband's golf clubs about the 11th hole. They were exhausted. So we wanted to really make women important, make golf clubs for them that help them bring their best talent out by the length of the club, the weight of the club, you know, the size of the grip, to give them a chance to play great golf. And so that's why Nancy Lopez came to fruition. I sat down in a room with Arnold Palmer, because Arnold Palmer Golf was with Nancy Lopez Golf many, many years ago. And so when Arnold asked me, would you like to start a women's golf company? I'm like, absolutely, that would be awesome. And so we joined forces together with Arnold Palmer Golf and Nancy Lopez Golf, and that's how it came together. Now we do clothes. We've been doing clothes for about 15 years. Which, you know, clothes are important. It took a while to get started with that too, because, you know, every woman has a different shape, different height. And so we're trying to make clothes that, you know, that a lot of people could wear, a lot of women could wear, and give them that opportunity. And I also have a company called Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures, where this is our 10th year celebrating. I have Teresa Zamboni and Sue Powers, both LPGA teaching professionals. And we take people around the world, around the country. We teach golf and we play golf with them. And we've had some really fun times over the past 10 years traveling all over the world and in the United States. And either one of those, you can go to nancylopezgolf.com to find out more about my clothes and my clubs, and nancylopezgolfadventures.com to find out about our traveling and our trips.
Oh, that's fantastic. Nancy, final two questions from me. You mentioned earlier about your commitment to raise the standards for the LPGA and your passion continuing to this day. But you also just celebrated what, the 43rd Nancy Lopez AIM Golf Tournament at the Villages in northern part of the state of Florida. Please tell our listeners, what is that event and what has it meant to you?
Well, I started with the AIM charity back when I was 20 years old. Dr. Joe Geiger, who started the music program, gosh, 70 years ago, she came and found me. And at that time, she wanted me to be their national ambassador. Billie Jean King was their national ambassador, and Joe Morgan with the Cincinnati Reds was their national ambassador. And she wanted somebody in golf. And so I lived in Cincinnati at that time, and the AIM office is in Dayton, Ohio, which is really close. And so she came to the LPGA Championship there at Kings Island and watched me. And Dr. Joe is just a wonderful lady, and she's a character. So she said she was stalking me. She said she came to Cincinnati to watch me at the LPGA tournament there. And she says, she just can't be that nice. She just can't be that nice. I've read all this stuff about her. I'm going to go follow her. And so Dr. Joe came, and she said she was following me. And she said, I came out of the locker room. I had golf balls and gloves and all this stuff in my hands. And this little kid came up to me and said, Miss Lopez, can I have your autograph? And she said, you sat everything down on the ground and you signed his autograph. And I said, I need to have be my national ambassador. And so when I met Dr. Joe for the first time, you know, I was just getting on the tour and I was winning, and she asked me if I could do that. I said, you know, Dr. Joe, I'm not really ready to represent any charity yet because I don't want to just put my name on the back of a pamphlet. So I said, I'll let you know when I'm ready to maybe do that. So after my rookie year, I just kind of sat there as this young person going, okay, I met Dr. Joe, winning golf tournaments is great, but what else can I do? And I thought, I'm going to go visit her. So I went to the EM office in Dayton, Ohio. Dr. Joe had brought in a couple that had a Down syndrome son. And I got to meet them. And it was amazing to me, this couple that had the Down syndrome son adopted another Down syndrome son to raise with their child. Because when you have a child that has any kind of handicap or special need, you wonder, the parents wonder who's going to take care of them when they're gone. And so I got to meet these people and it just touched my heart. And Dr. Joe touched my heart because she's 88 now, still running the AIM office. I don't think we'll ever find anybody like Dr. Joe. She's just fabulous. But the thing about Dr. Joe was all the money we raised really was going to help those kids and their families. We don't charge anything for them to come to the AIM office, but we're all over the country. What we do is we train teachers and they go to all different schools all over the country. And they have these work sessions where they bring like in Orlando, they had one. They'll have like 10 schools come in and our teachers go and train those teachers the AIM method, which is music. Yeah. And they take that back to their special needs schools. And that's how AIM gets into the schools. We do a few out of the country. We do some Alzheimer's patients' homes, which is really, I didn't know that we could do that. But we have classes where, for example, I went to one. I'm sitting in a group of Alzheimer's patients, maybe 30 people. And Alzheimer's patients don't have a lot of activity and they don't exercise a lot. So we're sitting around this circle and we blow up all these balloons. And we play music. And it was amazing. The music first stimulates everybody. And right. Then when the balloons are, going around, their first response is to hit the balloon. So they were getting exercise doing this with music and with the balloons. And it was really, really fun to be a part of that. So I know where the money goes. I know that Dr. Joe is really tight with AIM money. When you donate money, it goes to help these kids. We have this little bitty building in Dayton, Ohio, and Dr. Joe won't pay for anything if we can get it for free, which is really good. So we can touch all the kids we can. So that's why I've been with them for 43 years. We've been at the Villages about 23 years now because those people are so wonderful. A lot of volunteers. They all want to work. They've helped us with the event for many, many years. And it's just been my life. I love AIM. AIM stands for Adventures in Movement. And like I said, we've been doing this for a long time. And, I'm going to try and keep doing it as long as I can. And, all my friends that have and new friends and corporations that have been involved with AIM, we always thank them because they help us keep our doors open and help more children.
Well, and you've had a lot of support from your peers. You had Curtis Strange involved this year. You had David Marr. Peter Jacobson's been a regular. Who did I miss? Chris DeMarco's been a regular. I mean, you've got a lot of good people out
Kelly
there, right?
Kelly's been there too. She's
Kelly's great.
It's been really fun, and I thank them because they come and they do that event as a friend as a friend to me, and it's important because I think a lot of charities, a lot of the players, PGA and LPGA, they go and give their time to those events. And it is special to be able to do that. And I know the people that come to my tournament every year, they're always wondering who I'm going to bring in. And it's exciting. I had Jack Nicklaus at my 35th anniversary tournament. And he came with Barbara and he sat and he only could come in for that evening for the dinner. And he took pictures with every group. So it was just, I'm very appreciative. I never got to get Arnold there. He was always trying, but he's always busy. But it's just been nice. And I appreciate all my friends that have come, through the years and it's been a lot of fun.
Nancy, final one for me and Bobby, I'll let you close it out, please. I get the pleasure of asking this of our guests every week of Nancy, if you could have three individuals to round out sort of a dream foursome, whether those individuals are still with us or they're deceased, who would those three be, and where would you play that sort of magical round?
Well, it would be my dad for sure. Arnold Palmer would be, have to play with him, and Tom Selleck.
Bob Bumpka. I didn't anticipate that would come.
Yeah. I love Tom Selleck. And the first time I ever met Tom, it's a long story. I'm not going to go through that story, but when I finally did get to meet him, I asked him if I could have his shoes. And then after I said that, I was like, oh my, why did I say that? Well, he kissed me on the cheek and I freaked out. So I was like, can I have shoes? And he goes, my shoes. I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I say that? So anyway, that would be my foursome. Where would I like to play? Oh, I would like to play not Black Wolf Run, because I hated that course on the U.S. Open. It was just too tough. Kohler.
Whistling Straits?
Whistling Straits. I went blank.
Yeah.
Whistling sure. Straits, which is my favorite golf course so far that I've played. Beautiful. It was the day I played it, there was no wind. I mean, the lake was like just still as could be.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what hole it was a par three right on the lake. And it was about 73 degrees temperature and my hair looked really good. So that was the perfect day of playing golf. On my favorite golf course. So that's where I'd like to play with them.
Great selection. And I've been racking my brain here. How am I going to show my appreciation to Nancy Lopez for being such a wonderful asset to Musings on Golf? And I think I got it, but I'll need confirmation from you, Nancy.
Okay.
I'd like to take you out to dinner.
You better do better than Maselli.
Well, I love you, Bob.
I love you, Nancy. You've been an inspiration. Oh, God. There's not a parent in the world that could have a daughter that wouldn't want her to be just like Nancy Lopez. Thank you for your time. On Musings on Golf, you have truly blessed our listeners, and we truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it too.
Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course, and that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry, and you should too. Folks, I love these golf shoes. They're made of deer skin and calf skin. They've got a soft gel insert, and the reinforced hard and soft spikes increase stability and balance. And I got to tell you, they are so incredibly comfortable. So head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best, play your best with William & Harry. He sucked as as an infant. Her dad was very wise to make sure she had great teeth, as we talked about with that Sports Illustrated cover. But the Nancy Lopez today, boy, she's ready for Christmas. She's got the grandbabies coming. She's in the world right now, man. Yeah, she's Nancy Lopez at 22. Yeah, but she's also Nancy Lopez, the grandmother, who loves her family, Bob. And you understand that very well.
Yeah, she's so excited about everybody coming over for Christmas. She's worried about what she's going to put in this stocking, what she's going to put under the tree. Boy, oh boy. You and I have been blessed, Kelly. We've really been blessed because we've been in the golf world. And you get to meet a lot of special people when you work in the world of golf. I'll be the first one to issue that cry, and you're not going to meet anybody any more special than Nancy Lopez. I know you feel the same way. I feel the same way. It's an honor. I mean, an outright honor to call her a friend.
And we thank Nancy Lopez very much for her time. It was just terrific. Talk about terrific. Bob, know, she won 9 times as a rookie, as I mentioned. Scottie Scheffler gets his 9th win of the calendar year at the Hero World Challenge Tigers event in the Bahamas. He's been, by the way, he's been the number one ranked player in the world since May of 23. That's 82 consecutive weeks. By the way, your buddy Tiger Woods, he holds the record for the longest time at number one, not just once, but twice. He held it for 281 weeks. Then he had a little blip, and then he held it again for another 264 weeks. So I know for Scotty, it meant a lot to get that cool trophy from Tiger. But he's got a ways to go to catch up. Let's hear what Scotty had to say after such another convincing win, this time at the Hero World Challenge.
It's pretty surreal anytime you get, it's surreal sometimes almost when you get in the same room with Tiger, but it's definitely pretty surreal having him hand you a trophy at the end of the day. But like I said, we're proud to be supportive of Tiger and his foundation. We love the work that they do, and this is always a fun tournament for us to come and play in and support Tiger. It's been a great year. It's been a fun year. I've been fortunate to get some wins out of some really good golf, and this was another week where I played really solid and was able to see some nice results from that. And overall, it was a pretty fun year. I never really play golf for legacy. I don't. That's not something that I think about day to day. I play because I love the competition. I love coming out here and competing. I like trying to get the most out of myself out here on the golf course, and that's why I'm always trying to improve, trying to do little things to get better. And I don't think about records. I don't think about achievements, wins, losses. I just try and get the most out of myself and come out here and compete and have a good attitude.
It's hard to come up with compliments for Scheffler. He's so great, but I think you'll agree with me on this one, Kelly. There's a lot of Nancy Lopez
Yeah.
in Scottie Scheffler. There is a lot of Nancy Lopez, and I cannot pay a higher compliment than that.
It's a great comparison. I think he sees golf in ways that maybe not everybody does. And that passion, that love for the game. He's been playing it a long time, and he's around some really good people with Randy Smith, who we've had on, his coach down at Texas, who we had on the show as well, his parents. His kid's really grounded, Bob. And there is, you talk about no reason to see that he's gonna falter at any time. I can't, I'm struggling to find anything about his game that's gonna say, oh, Scottie Scheffler's gonna struggle here or there. This kid's gonna be good for a long time, Bob.
Yeah, mainly because what he has on the top of his shoulders. He has a great head
Yeah.
for golf. He's only had one instructor. He's been a phenom for a long time, but he's an everyday Joe. I mean, he's as good a guy as you're going to ever want to meet. And we're so proud to point out, the achievements of Scottie Scheffler and be able to bring them to the very, very fine listeners of Musings on Golf.
He will not be playing this week at the Grant Thornton Invitational in Naples, Florida. I like the team events, Bob. That's what we're going to see this week. What do we have? 18, 20 teams, something like that. Nelly Korda and Tony Finau are one of the teams. Lydia Ko and Jason Day. You also have Lexi Thompson and Ricky Fowler. So fun. Always good to see how players complement one another, are able to hit certain shots. It to me, I'm excited about this event. I always enjoy seeing the best from both tours playing together in an event like this.
Well said, Kelly, because I think you echo the sentiments of many of our listeners on Musings, and we're going to keep an eye on that mixed team event, and we'll see what happens.
Bob, we close. Again, we want to thank Nancy, and we look forward to it. And but I want to close again, and I don't mean to be macabre or too somber, but golf lost somebody really, really good today in the passing of our friend Jeff Babineaux. Again, people may not necessarily have seen Jeff on television because he was a writer, right? Golf Week for years, did a lot of recent work for the PGA Tour, the PGA of America. masters, etc. But his passion, his love for the game, and frankly, Bob, his love for those he touched, his family, clearly, and just the mark that Jeff Babineau leaves among the many who he came in touch with is something. It's a legacy, but a very, very sad day.
Yeah, and let me end what I have to say about Jeff Babineau by saying, hey, man upstairs, you're looking for somebody to round out your foursome? You take Jeff Babineau. You'll not only have a great playing partner, you'll have a great personality, a great father, a great husband, and a great person, and a very, very good friend. To Musings on Golf. Jeff, we love you dearly, and I know you're in a good place.
For the heavy heart, Kelly Elbin, on behalf of my dear friend Bob Bupka, signing off as we reflect on the passing of Jeff Babineau and also celebrate his life. And we thank Nancy Lopez for making this a very special Musings on Golf. We'll see you next week. Thanks very much for listening.
Well done, guys.
Well done.